All right, you're listening to Apostates on the Fringe, a leftist atheist podcast that guides you as we go through the pits of hell. We are your hosts. I am Dustin.
And I'm Sam.
I'm Alistair.
And we are sponsored by the Atheist Society of Knoxville, and I am still on my bougie beer because it is...
It's thick, boy.
It is thick, boy. It is down with the thickness. I mean, it really is. As I discovered last week, it really is a pretty thick beer. Who's this by again? I don't fucking know the brewing company. Mason L Works. So I think Mason L Works, all their shit's like super expensive. $32 for four beers. Probably won't ever fucking do that again. It's also pretty tart. It's tough to get through. So as a backup, I do have a Sweetwater Blue. Just a nice, light, crisp, refreshing.
I got
just as a backup.
Basic beer this week, too. Lion Kugel Summer Shandy. It's a beer. It's fine.
I got, like, the basicest. Yingling.
Oh, still no. Yingling. Did you, now that Sam Adams, I've had that Sam Adams, that Summer Citrus, whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's my second one.
That one, I like that one because it's kind of like a, you know, a Blue Moon with the orange already kind of added with that citrus added to it. Like, it's not, I mean, it's not as orangey.
It's not as sweet as my other beer, but kind of in the same family. It's okay.
So, I guess first up in the, as we take you through another week of grueling hell and despair as this country and world itself just continues to just shit on everybody.
Yeah, collapses in on itself. I like how we're atheists, but we compare it to hell because hell is real and it's here on Earth. It's not a special place you go when you die. You're already there.
Well, I will say the one good thing that happened this week that kind of lit up everyone's feet, of course, as I mentioned on our last week's show, the James Webb Space Telescope did release their images, and
those
they
are fucking beautiful.
Stunning.
Did we find a new place to move where that's not ruled by fascists? Is that
well, the fascists will be the first ones to move in, Sam.
Yeah.
They won't survive. They can't.
Oh, I can't wait for space fascism.
I like how, I mean, they were absolutely stunning images, and I can't wait. I mean, this is, I like their, what they did was look what we can do, look what your money is spent, and then the real science comes afterwards as they are now studying like atmospheric data on planets and shit like that. Like they're looking at their, you know, infrared wavelengths. They're able to peer 14.6 billion years light years into space. So it's basically like a time machine. We're seeing, you know, the galaxies and any objects that we're looking at as they were 14.6 billion years ago. So it's actually really kind of cool. But then you go into the fucking Tennessee and you look at the articles, you know, when WBIR posts, you know, James,
oh my God.
And everyone's like, oh, nice to see new Photoshopped images from NASA.
Photoshop?
Yeah. They think, because they think anything.
Do they also believe that space isn't real?
Well, yeah, the moon landing never happened. Well, that was all done
real.
In a studio.
It's all the firmament of the Earth.
Yeah.
But I don't like understand what their end game is. Like, what is the end game of this? Like, why would they release these Photoshopped images? To what extent? Like, I don't understand.
Dude,
they're
probably
thinking.
All flat earthers.
It's a flat earther thing. I mean, the Photoshopped moon landing, that's heavy in the flat earthers. But I've seen it around other groups as well.
So I guess first up, Twitter is suing Elon.
Haha.
Yeah. Actually, so we knew, because you know, you and I both, Al, we listened to Opening Arguments, and he kind of covered the, Angie Torres covered this pretty extensively on their show, the legal aspects of what's in the contract. And basically, if either of them were to back out of the deal, it would be a $1 billion kind of penalty for doing so. But like in the last, like in the 12th hour, Elon's like, before we move forward, I want to know how much of your account base is bots. And Twitter's like, no, you don't get that. The deal was, this was a as-is purchase for the investment that you wanted to take over this and buy this company. You don't get to have that data because he would just broadcast it anyways and just leak it. He's been disparaging the company. That was part of the, as part of the contract, they're like, you can't disparage Twitter and further drive down its price. And he's kind of done nothing but since.
Right.
And they quoted, I swear to God, in the complaint, they cited when he tweeted a poop emoji in response to one of the Twitter's posts. And like they said, they cited that and some other things that they had cited that they are accusing him of not of disparaging the company and trying to drive down and crash the price of Twitter. Uh-huh. So they're suing him for $44 billion.
I love it when idiots fight with each other. The people call this guy like one of the smartest guys on the planet. He's a fucking incel moron. No, I mean, he's not an incel because he's fucking someone who... Like, have you read the interview with what she said of what it's like to date him? That he basically, like, he's one of those...
Who, his stepdaughter, or...
No, that's his father. That's what we were going to mention.
We'll get to that in a second.
I'm talking about Grimes. Did you hear what Grimes said it's like to date him?
No. Because I don't care about him that much. Like,
he doesn't give her any money. that he will basically, like, he slums it all the time because he doesn't like to use his money. As with a lot of rich people, through history, too, they don't like to spend their money because they get into this, like, it's almost a mental illness state.
I mean, they're hoarders.
Where they want to hoard their money. Yeah,
they're fucking hoarders.
They want to hoard their money that he lives, but she tried to spin it like, oh, he's so humble. I'm like, oh, okay.
So what was it that just came across our desk about his dad?
His dad just had a kid with his stepdaughter who he has raised since four, so he's got a great family, you know. He really comes from the best of things.
That is so
real
fucking
royal
gross.
That's real royal shit right there.
That is gross.
You know, rich people are royalty, and you know fucking your stepdaughter is something kings
like
would do.
Don't you, like, this should be like the most negative PR for him whatsoever, because he's rich, is gonna get fucking brushed off, except for people like us who
if I was rich I would fuck my stepdaughter too, said every Republican.
Yeah,
anyways, I was gonna say I've been on Facebook for a month, so I'm on Twitter a lot more because fuck Facebook. And I don't think that Elon can ruin as much as Facebook is ruined. Facebook is boomer propaganda book.
Well, and they can't meme anyways, but I don't think the Twitter deal is going to go through. It's not going to go through. I think that this was the ultimate of this lawsuit.
Yeah, they called his bluff. It was a
they
it
called
was
his bluff, and I think this lawsuit is ultimately going to make him have to settle and either a fork over the $1 billion for backing out of the deal, or maybe a higher settlement. But they're going to be in litigation for fucking like
years.
They're going to drag this.
That's his strategy.
They're going to drag this shit out. This show probably won't exist by the time this fucking thing comes out.
Twitter probably won't either.
I mean, I don't know. Like, their share prices are down, but I'm not really following that closely because I don't fucking invest.
I bet we don't Public hear sucks. Anything about that lawsuit. I mean, we may hear little bits here and there, but it won't be final for like 5-6 years.
I did get a good chuckle that they literally cited a poop emoji tweet in their complaint in the lawsuit. That's, I mean, that's
where we're at in civilization.
That's humor nowadays. Yeah. So,
all right, so fun time's over. Now to talk about how shitty Uvalde cops are again.
This is again? Round three or four, because it's like, because I remember they had fought so hard to prevent any kind of footage from being released, and I don't think this was an authorized release, if I'm correct. I think it was given to like some newspaper or something like that. Like they were like, whoa, we haven't even got a chance to review this with the families and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or edit. By that they mean heavily edit and redact it before sending it out to the public.
Oh yeah. So the new footage came out. And as it should be, it's being heavily criticized. It shows the funniest thing is the cop on his phone. Did I send?
Yeah, we all saw it.
Yeah, we all saw that. The cop on his phone with the Punisher fucking logo.
Yeah, and so I've seen a lot of bootleggers trying to defend the video because the parts of the video that people have been pointing out is how they're just kind of lingering and lagging in the hallway. And there's an editor's note on the video that says the sounds of children screaming have been edited out.
Have been removed.
Yeah, so the cops are just standing there while they hear kids being murdered, and they're standing
screaming.
There.
I mean, even if the kids that haven't been shot, hearing and knowing that's going on, like, that's going to cause them to scream. They're going to be scared. They're going to be crying.
So they just wait there. A cop's checking his phone. Another one like gets hand sanitizer.
So I want to go back to the cop who's checking his phone. We discovered today. It was discovered today in a broadcast that was the cop whose wife had been shot.
Yeah. So I've seen bootlickers trying to defend him and being like, he was checking on his wife that has been shot. And obviously you're like, well, that makes it even worse. Instead of not acting on children being murdered, you're now not acting on your wife being murdered too. Sweet.
Right. That's,
good
that's
way to try to defend them. Thanks.
Exactly what my...
Yeah, so that killed... So to me, that... that actually killed the narrative that is upon immediately hearing that his wife had been shot, that he rushed immediately. He still had his weapon. So, like, when the news first broke and I was like, yo, this cop, his wife had been shot, and they detained him and took his gun away. It's like, in my head, he gets this thing, I've been shot, I'm dying, and he just goes and rushes in. No, he's literally not doing that. He's standing there.
He's like, what would the Punisher do in this situation? Probably stand in this hallway.
So we don't know the timeline of when he got the text, but she is a teacher there. He knows shots have been fired. He knows shots are still going on. And
he's probably been to
her
classroom before.
So, I mean, there are later reports that maybe later he received a text, and then that's when he charged it after. I don't know if I buy that. I mean, it's possible.
I absolutely do not. If you're shot,
he's still hearing screams.
If you're shot, one of the first things you're going to do is reach out to your emergency contact in that situation. You know the people around you are already calling the cops. Your husband's a cop. You're going to send your husband that text message like as soon as you're able. And he was in there for a little while.
I will play kind of what if advocate. What if she had to play dead while the shooter was still in there before she could safely reach for her phone to make that text? I would say that's plausible, which would delay the ability to send
a
text.
From the sounds of what happened, he went into another room pretty quickly.
I don't know. I'm just saying that's the only logical. That's the only argument I would say to you. The only possible situation in which I've been shot. I can't immediately send this text because I need to pretend that I've been fatally shot so he doesn't shoot me fucking again. That's the only argument I have. But still, this cop is still... screaming children has been removed, and he's
still,
like, on his phone.
We're still making fun of his background, of this is how cops see themselves. They like this image of the Punisher, but they're not really thinking of... They don't actually read... Cops don't read. They can't even fucking read comic books. They don't know what the Punisher does. They're thinking more of, like, an 80s cop show where he breaks... They don't understand that the Punisher is a vigilante who hates cops. The vigilante is a guy who thinks cops are useless, so he kills criminals because he doesn't think cops do their job. That's what the Punisher is, but they don't understand that. They think the cop kills criminals because they're bad, and they want to do the same. That's how they see themselves. They want to be a vigilante that kills criminals.
I think it's funny. I was in a comment section on a friend's page, and I think his name is Michael Tallett, a former Knox County Sheriff's officer. And he's in there being like, yeah, what they did was pathetic. If that was KCSO, they would have barged in there. And, like, just talking them up. And, like, people are going back and forth with him for a minute. Like, in seriousness, like, talking to him about his time there. And finally I pop in with, yo, didn't one of their officers just shoot their partner, like, just last week? Like, definitely the people I'm putting my faith into. He comes back with, like, you try shooting at a dog, and you probably don't even know how to load a gun, you fuckwad, or something like that. I'm just like, I put up, I was like, dude, there are four rules of gun safety. Like, number four, know your target and what's immediately in front of and behind of it.
Yeah, no, I don't want to minimize. Like, I understand, like, this officer did, and during this incident, did lose his wife. She did die during the incident.
I hope he goes home and kills himself, too, then.
Jesus, Sam, it's already been, you know, like, weeks.
I hope all cops, you know, I think every single cop should fall on their fucking sword. And by their sword, I mean their gun. And by fall, I mean bullet in their head.
Jesus.
That was delightful. Thanks, Sam. But I mean, I don't want to take away. Like,
I can't say violent things on Facebook anymore. You can't restrain me. Don't dolphin noise me.
I am the editor. I can restrain you, sir. If deemed necessary. No, I understand. Like, it is sad that he lost his wife, but we're not making fun of him for, you know, for his wife dying. I think
fuck that guy.
No,
his
I'm criticizing.
Probably a fascist
I'm making fun of their cowardly behavior.
Like, you don't have to tell me to wait on a commander to, if there's three or four of us, to go in while I'm hearing the screams of children and we have the ability, the armor.
Yo, if I had a gun on me and I heard children screaming and I knew somebody was in there harming those children, there's not a whole fucking lot that would stop me from getting to try to help those kids. Like, I just don't understand. You have all those fucking officers in the hallway, and not one of them looked around at their partners and like, what the fuck is wrong with you, and went in there to get them.
Yeah, and we talked about pretty extensively on the inaction of the cops, but to see their kind of like nonchalant behavior with the screams of children, the shooting going on in the background was just mind-boggling, to say the least. Like, it was just incomprehensible to me to see that kind of callous, cowardice behavior. So that's kind of why we're bringing this up again. It's just, it's the first time that we've seen the footage of the inside of just like what they were actually, it's not like they were truly game planning anything. They're just kind of standing around like, until 77
minutes.
They were
waiting
later
for backup and better armor because they, that was more important to them than stopping more murders.
Well, because the shooter did shoot at them, and then that's when they immediately retreated.
They're like, whoa, this
our lives
like
are actually in danger.
Oh my god, this isn't like the simulations.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would expect cops to put their lives on the line for, if nothing else, children.
See, this is what I keep saying, is we want to militarize the police and everything but fucking training. A military task force, like a military unit, would never have acted like this.
Mm-mm.
But didn't they wait for SWAT arrived and they still didn't go in? Like,
they
waited, the border patrol?
Like anybody, that's what we should be
because
hearing.
Because I'm almost certain
we
like,
should be hearing about anybody in the fucking military who's actually been in operations. They would never have gotten orders to wait around while hostages
doesn't,
get killed.
Doesn't Special Weapons and Tactics literally like train for these specific scenarios and have advanced training to handle like these specific kinds of heavy armor?
According to the Michael Talent, KCSO does. They've had the training.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
are they trained
to
not
shoot,
to shoot
the partner in the leg?
Uvalde was supposed to have fucking the training. They made a post talking about how they did the training, didn't they?
Well,
I thought there was a page on their page, or there was a, on the Valde SWAT page, that there was something about an active shooter drill at that school that they did.
I didn't see that. There's been so much Valde news, I may have missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Valde police held active shooter training weeks before school shooting.
That was effective.
Weeks before.
Super effective. So the training maybe gives them procedure, but it doesn't give them fucking courage. And they had absolutely none of it. None of them. 77 minutes.
They're all talk. Like I said, like when you go into the military, the difference between, one of the big differences between the military and the police is when you're going through military training, you pretty much know that if you're being deployed, you're going to see action in some form or way. You're going to be in danger. But when you're becoming a cop, you're probably going to be handing out fucking tickets and not really see anything, maybe once or twice. Like, the mind of a cop, they tell them that they're in danger at all the time. This is why they just open fire on everybody, too. But, like, the military prepare themselves for what they know is going to happen. Cops don't really go into that job thinking, I'm going to be in danger every day. They go into it thinking, oh, sweet, I get a gun. It's going to be fun.
Well, society also kind of instills this idea, not only into the cops themselves, but also with the population, that it's a super dangerous job, that being a police officer is a very dangerous job, when in reality, a delivery driver is a much more dangerous job. There are several drivers. We've talked about it on at least two episodes where we've ranked them. And the only reason they came even close to becoming like two steps up higher was because of COVID, because they disregarded all COVID restrictions, and that accounted for 60% of the deaths in 2021.
Yeah, and that had more to do with the majority of cops being conservative than anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
In 2021, 1,055 police officers, or 1,055 people were killed by police. And 66 police officers were killed by people.
You know, if I was playing a video game, that would be a good KD.
That is a good KD.
Yeah.
That's an extremely good KD. Like, I would be, like, that's, get cops on my fucking team because they're doing a lot better than.
Jesus fuck. I'm going to remind you of those words later in a very inconvenient time, just so you know.
What, get a cop on my Call of Duty team?
Not going to edit his own joke out. I think it was great. I would have said it myself.
I don't actually play first-person shooter games anymore, man. They all bore me out anymore. So I can get out of that joke anyway, is that I don't fucking play those games. They bore me out. They bore me out.
Speaking of horrible things America does to children.
Yeah, so this case, this is about the 10-year-old, right? That was raped in Ohio and had to travel to Indiana to get the abortion form because it was after 6 weeks. Now, cue all the Republicans who came out and said that the doctor who said, I just had to perform an abortion on a 10-year-old because they couldn't get one in Ohio, who labeled her basically as a liar who was just trying to, because they didn't think it was right. They didn't think it was possible. They're like, she's just saying this because that they just want these abortion laws gone.
It's like another paid actor.
A 10-year-old paid actor. She's all about that money. Mm-hmm. They told her she could get a lot of popsicles if she lied about a little bit about an abortion. Like, these people are sociopaths.
Yeah, and especially after Biden spoke out against it.
You know, this should be one of those moments. If you are a this is why I say Republicans, it is impossible to be a Republican and a good person. Because if you were a Republican and you were someone that called themselves pro-life and you saw this story, you should take a pause and go, am I the baddie? Am I on the wrong side? And if you see this story and that's not your reaction, then you are a garbage human being.
Yeah, well, so this is from NBCNews.com. Numerous Republican officials, these are officials and right-wing news outlets, suggested that Bernard, the doctor who made the claim about the 10-year-old, had made up the story after President Joe Biden spoke out about the case, quoting him here, 10 years old, raped, 6 weeks pregnant, already traumatized, was forced to travel to another state. Imagine being that little girl. Until Wednesday, the Columbus Dispatch reported that there had been an arrest made in that case. A Gershon Fuentes, who's 27, who admitted to the act. And then this attorney general in Indiana, Todd Rokita, is now investigating that doctor who said she treated a 10-year-old rape victim. Why? Why is it necessary? Like, abortion laws are illegal, I think, up to 15 weeks or so, I think, in Indiana. Why is investigation required? Is it because your state made the headlines for performing an abortion on a 10-year-old girl?
We are in the end times. So one of the main things that these new abortion laws are, women don't have rights anymore. You're a man who rapes you has more rights to your body and your child than you do. That is the goal of these laws.
I'm going to put a pin in that because there's a story for that later. I'm going to quote him here. He's referring to Dr. Caitlin Bernard as an abortion activist acting as a doctor. So we're gathering the information, we're gathering the evidence as we speak, and we're going to fight this to the end, including looking at her licensure. He's saying she's looking into whether she failed to report the incident in Indiana because it's a crime to not report, to intentionally not report. So he's just on his fucking high horse for what? Saving the life, essentially, of this 10-year-old, because 10-year-old girls cannot safely go through a full-term pregnancy. Like, I don't know what's going through his mind. Like, the damage that would have been done to that body would be insane, and their first goal is to not praise this doctor for essentially saving the life of this child, but
it's all about controlling women. They don't care about safety. They don't care about children. Like, you cannot be a Republican and be a good person. If you know a Republican, then know that they deserve your boot.
What's funny is that they don't care. So this Attorney General Rokita is just so fucking like into right wing talking points that as soon as he learned that the perpetrator, this Fuentes, may have been in the country illegally, he told Fox News, it's an illegal immigration issue because likely of Biden's lawlessness at the border and everything going on down there.
Oh my fucking God.
Despite him being in the country long before Biden even became president. Like, as soon as he learns, he's just like, oh, fucking Biden and his fucking immigration policies. They're coming up here, and they're raping children.
Which, by the way, that's another story, is Biden had a bunch of immigration stuff happen this week, where he's trying to work with Mexico on helping control the border. So he's still doing border control stuff without building a stupid fucking wall.
which
because he
is being it's like being left rusted, the unfinished portions and shit. Yeah, something's already fallen over.
It just shows, like, you know, he actually listened to a team that was like, "How do we actually control the border?" And then Trump's whole thing with the border wall was he was really building a monument to himself. That's all it really was.
So I'm gonna pull the pin out of the thing you said earlier. There was a judge, and I don't remember the state, Stephanie may chime in here, who granted basically full custody to the mother, sorry, to the father who had raped at the time a 16-year-old girl, and he was 30 at the time. She now pays him child support, about $117 a month, and this judge, now this judge is under investigation now for this incident, but yeah, there are judges in this country that will grant custody To the rapist. So it's not we're not being alarmist.
That she's paying him child support. He has full custody. Yeah,
which is the bigger
time.
Deal. Which is the bigger deal? We're not being alarmist here. This shit is actually going on right now.
This is the country you live in, folks. Every Republican voter is in favor of this. They want a world where a man, if you find a woman attractive, rape her, because if she gets impregnated, then you will have control over her and her kid for the rest of your life.
Yeah, there was. There was a tweet that said, there was a tweet that said the reality is now rapists can choose who's gonna be their mother of their child.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this is what Republicans want. So if you have a neighbor with a Republican sign in their yard, you know what kind of human they are.
Incels. The incel problem is going to get worse as far as how they react. Because that's who's going to get that message. They already look down at women, and now with women having less rights, that's the message that they're going to hear is, well, I can just take her.
Now, for everyone out there seeming, well, just file a police report and charge the rapist. Well, here's the real situation. In this particular case, she filed a report against him 15 years ago.
And let me guess. Mm-hmm. Like many departments all across the United States, the rape kit was never processed.
They didn't even follow up with the investigation. It was shoved into a drawer. It never fucking got opened.
That's pretty much standard.
And that's for the ones that go reporting. You have to guys keep in mind that it's a traumatizing event, and a lot won't even want to bring it up because that's just further trauma that they have to relive as they go through this.
So
it's already a trauma. These are for the ones who are bold and brave enough to press and bring those charges, and then for those charges to be just simply disregarded, and not just, and then they actually do investigate. Then they bring out the rape kits. Then those rape kits sit in the fucking drawer for weeks and weeks. We had a story that they had, God, it's like almost a library of unprocessed rape kits.
I was listening to a true crime story this week about serial rapists that got away with it because they would never process the material. That's another reason why we have so many stories. People are so sensitive these days. But we have, you know, rape revenge stories. But those resonate with victims because the only way you can get justice for being raped is by doing it yourself. The cops will never do it for you. As we've seen, they become fucking Supreme Court justices. They say, you know, it's just boys being boys. Like, the only way to get justice for rape is with Ask the Punisher.
And then when you have money, in the case of Brock Turner, if you're a rich white, come from a rich white family, there's no punishment for it.
I think I posted this last week, and I don't know if you read it or if, I don't think we talked about it at all. But it goes along with what we're talking about, or what we were talking about with the rape kits. So here in Tennessee, in Johnson City, there's a former like federal agent of some type that was working with the Johnson City Police Department, and she's currently suing them now for terminating her employment as retaliation because she wanted to know why multiple rape. I think they're up to 10 victims. In the lawsuit, that people have reported rape. One woman ended up dying after people were saying that he's at this one guy's house, this one man who's a business owner in that town. He's known to sell coke. The girl was there, left, ended up dying. Another girl fell out of his window, and all of these reports were made, and the police chief just sat on it and said it's not credible. He at one point said, in all of his time working on the police force, he's only heard of one credible rape claim.
Okay.
That's because they don't believe it happens. So yeah, they had this prominent fucking. They had a prominent fucking businessman on like the fucking downtown who had his buddies luring women in from the bars down there. He would rape them or drug them, rape them, and send them on the way. People were reporting it, and the cops just fucking overlooked it and shrugged it off. And they don't know how many fucking victims of this man there are now.
It's because, you know, they never want to believe the accuser anymore. That's why they always kind of make fun of the Me Too movement.
When you have 10 women with the same, pretty much the same story.
This is the same people who are in the Republican Party that 12 people, how many people came out and had claims against Trump and they just shrugged that shit off?
Yeah.
So those people, and just keep in mind, cops are by and large Republican. They're right leaning. They're a part of that party that does not ever believe the accuser. And of course, they also are part of a party that hates women. So put those two together. Yeah, they don't care about these. And they don't want to create, they don't want to actually do their jobs.
Well, when, she finally got them to, like, serve a warrant on him. And they didn't serve the warrant. They tipped him off. And so he fled. No, I haven't seen an update on whether they found him. He's just fucking gone. They let him get away. So it's everybody in Johnson City seems convinced that he was paying the fucking cops off. And I believe it.
It's possible. I do want to circle back to this Rokita, the Attorney General of Indiana, who is investigating. And this is what he's claiming here. This is a horrible scene caused by Marxists and socialists and those in the White House who want lawlessness at the border. And then this girl was politicized for the gain of killing more babies. All right. That was the goal. And this abortion activist is out there front and center. I want to go back. Killing more babies. This is a 10-year-old.
Yes, who could die by carrying this child.
It's fucking disgusting. They really don't understand anything about science, biology. They just don't care.
It's about controlling women. This is a woman that they're talking about.
It's a child.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. Yeah, it's a female. And they don't give a shit about... It's all about control, and that's all it's fucking about. They don't give a shit about lives.
I think they're just mad that
the post about the baby deposit boxes.
I had not seen that. No,
that's their goal. Like, if you have an unwanted baby, just leave it in this deposit box in the wall.
Actually, I think they've been there forever. Yeah, they have been there.
Yeah,
and I mean. I mean, there. It's that I have no issue with, because it allows somebody who may be in a condition where they can't get an abortion to still have a way out.
Anonymous drop boxes. Right. There are some pretty fancy ones. I think I shared this story with you. I don't think we talked about it on the show. If we did, it was a quick byline where it actually alerts them. It gives them a timer it's opened about a minute or two, then it alerts them that a baby was in there. So
they're like, don't worry. If you don't want the baby, just leave it in the box.
Yeah.
Like, that's their out to this.
But no, I think they're just mad in this situation because, like, their whole rhetoric was, that never happens. Children don't get raped and have, you know, they're just mad that this is that it's
that
a reality
soon,
now.
Immediately.
It's a reality. And this person couldn't, in your own state, a 10-year-old could not get let's just call it a life-saving procedure, healthcare, in that state, and had to travel to a neighboring state. Now that state's like, and now we're going to investigate that doctor.
This is the dystopia you are currently living. Now, I remind you, any Republican you know is for this. If you vote Republican, you are voting for this. Elections are coming up. That's going to be our next story.
So before we get into that, I do want to – you guys hadn't seen this. It's kind of been going around. I saw this at least a couple times, and this is so this is Senator Josh Hawley was questioned by law professor Kiara Bridges over a Senate hearing regarding abortion rights. And she pretty much takes him to task, and then he tries to label it as, you know, liberal snowflake gets upset about questioning.
Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, right, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. We can recognize
that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups.
Sounds good. Those things
are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence.
First off, good for her for not letting him get away with that, for actually calling him out and actually using the words that I would have used for this line of questioning. He's doing it intentionally. He's doing this intentionally. He knows what he's doing.
Not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning. So we can't talk about
yes.
it.
Because
because of people like you that run the government
and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that dangerous. Trans people exist by asking you if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe?
I love her so much. She's not letting him fucking get away with this. By asking this question, by saying, do we need to include these people? You're opening out to by them not being recognized as people. When we live in a society where, you know, they're already, you know, they already uncomfortable as who they are, and they're trying to be better. But when they live in a society that doesn't recognize them as a human being, especially the youth, we know that they're susceptible to.
He's using typical turf tactics.
Absolutely.
Because I hear this from people all the time. It's what J.K. Rowling supporters use. It's the same arguments from them.
Yeah.
Believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people
Yes.
can get
And that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this?
I love this.
Where
you're
told
that they're opening up people to violence.
He's so mad.
By questioning.
He's so mad.
You should join.
Oh, I bet.
You might learn a lot.
This is so good. I've got to share that with you guys because this is absolutely a turf line question. Like, she's out here defending, like, because I think that's appropriate phrase. People with uteruses or people for the capacity of pregnancy, whichever you want to say is more inclusive and is not denigrating women. We know that women are the largest percentage, but you're more inclusive when you are including that, and to openly attack that as a sitting senator.
Well, he's trying to come at the point that men can't get pregnant because it's not actually a man. That's his argument. It's an argument we see from J.K. Rowling supporters all the time.
It's an argument that has no place in the fucking discussion.
But that's the only argument
they have. He's doing it.
The world.
Yes, he's just doing it
to be an asshole.
It's because he's doing it
for his audience. His audience believes that they don't believe that transgender people exist.
I know this for a fact because I went – so when I was looking for this video on YouTube, obviously this is the easier route to find it on NBC. But when I was looking for the YouTube, he published the video himself saying that, you know, he triggered some liberal snowflake professor, and all of his commenters are seeing it the other way, that he got her all flustered. I think she responded in a professional and a beautiful way. Like, I think she was poised. She was calm.
Well, because,
and she called it out.
Because under their worldview, they're like, see, she didn't say that men are men. Oh, you. Like, their worldview dictates that they refuse to acknowledge transgender people. Then that's what she said. And they're like, yes, I do agree that. They're bigots. Like, yes, they do believe that. That's like if you were talking to a Nazi and like, are you trying to say that Jews are people? And he's like, are you? Oh, Jews aren't people. Like, these are the same people in the same fucking camp.
Yeah, this is kind of going back to memory. We discussed it during the Ketanji Brown Jackson hearing with, was that Marsha Blackburn? Was that piece of shit? It was like, can you define a woman?
Yeah, I think it was.
That is their strategy. That's their strategy because that speaks to their base. And their base are utter pieces of shit who deserve to have a nail driven through their forehead. We will be selling these nails on our site. Look for them in the comments.
Yeah, that's... All right, so yeah,
they're called transpo turf nails.
So vote
we're
them out.
We're selling turf nails on our website.
So
now.
Vote these fuckers out. Let's vote these fuckers out, and
we
let's
should
move
record
on.
A commercial for turf nails before
you know
next
what?
Week.
I'll film a commercial for turf nails.
Is the Old City Rock Reliquary
include a joke ad in the middle of the show next week?
Okay, I'm gonna film this shit, Daniel.
Is this gonna be the Old City Optical Reliquary is gonna do this?
No, we're gonna get to do a turf nails video real quick for you guys.
Okay.
This is gonna be great.
So I tried several times, but let's segue. So obviously vote these fuckers out, and we have some elections coming up. Early voting starts in Knoxville, or in Tennessee rather. Tomorrow this is the primary for
Tomorrow for us, which is we are filming.
You're right.
The past.
We do, yeah.
It
film.
Will be currently. Or
there's not a camera.
Recording.
We're recording.
It will be available to you when you hear it.
Yeah, this will drop. So our patrons, actually, it'll be. I'll drop this episode tomorrow if everything works out for our patrons that have the early access. Everyone else will get this on Sunday. Doesn't matter. The early voting will still be going for at least. A 2 week was a 14-day period.
Yeah, I think
it's
August.
It's a lot easier to early vote. You know, it's a lot easier to do it. Definitely early vote. Cause
August 2nd would be a Tuesday, and I'm assuming and they're always on Tuesdays. If I'm not,
you're
wrong.
Not going to be pressured into going on one
day. Starts on
and
a
then
Tuesday.
Be less
it depends
people.
On how. Like if it's
just
a
go
full
do
week.
It, get it out of the way. It's quick. If you need help knowing who to vote, we can put that in the comments right under the turf nail. Advertisement.
Well, so we're not a 501c3. We may be sponsored by one, but I don't think that really prevents us from whatever message we want to put out just because they pay for...
Oh, yeah. We don't ever say our political opinion on this show.
No,
that's
so
right.
We haven't really endorsed a candidate.
We don't endorse...
We haven't endorsed a candidate, no. And that would technically... By listing candidates, that would be technically endorsing them. But I don't think we're beholden
but
to such
we're
rules.
We're not because
yeah,
we're not recording...
We're not a 501c3. Yeah. No.
Churches aren't either, for fuck's sake. They do that all the time. Why aren't
yeah,
we...
Yeah, the Johnson Amendment never applied to them fucking anyways. So this one will just be the primary to hopefully maybe get Russell Mayor Glenn Jacobs out of there, who's been a complete piece of shit on Twitter, even more increasingly lately.
He's a full-on anti-vaxxing Trumper Nazi, and... yeah, so if you vote for... Like, I remember the first term that he went for. I knew people that voted for him because they were like, oh, it's funny, he's a wrestling mayor. And here we are, years later, dealing with his bullshit of having the highest number of COVID deaths per capita because of his business plan.
And this, so yeah, this new sub-variant, the BA5, is the new dominant strain. And, of course, it has, you know, some resistance to the vaccine. I believe the vaccine still protects...
Once again, if you have the vaccine, it's going to be like having the flu. But if you don't have the vaccine, it could kill you. So,
and those cases are coming back up.
In the comments, we have all the churches in town.
If you know, if I had time, it's so funny. These people are so against any kind of like healthcare protocols. I would play you a clip from just this week. It was a congressional. I would play it. I don't know if we had time for it. It was a state senate representative in Rourke County, something county. Maury County, Tennessee, and the guy gets up there, and they're asked about how'd you feel about the COVID restrictions, and he just goes, "Raise your hand if you or a loved one you know was affected or died due to COVID," and almost everyone in that room raised their hand, and he says, and he acknowledges, "Okay, so everyone, no more mandates." That was the next sentence out of his breath. He said, "How many people in here have had someone die or affected to them?" Everyone in that room raised their hand. And then he acknowledged that everyone in this room had been affected, that someone had died, and the next words out of his mouth was, no more mandates.
It's one of those things that's connected to politics like religion, where it is a religion. Like, these people are not thinking people. Like, I have a friend who has lost three family members, including a young kid. And like, but they're that side of the family who has lost those people, like, they still don't care. Like, when you know personal people in your family and you're like, hey, grandma died of this, you know, someone, your sister died of this, and now your kid is, well, the kid didn't die, they're permanently, they have long COVID symptoms. They're permanently disabled from it, and they still aren't waking up to that fact.
No.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do for these people. But the problem is that on that stage, they all kind of had that same view, and there was some other bullshit where the guy said these people didn't die from the virus; they died due to the lockdowns. That word came out of his mouth too. And the problem is,
are they like in Star Wars and they died of loneliness?
The worst part
no,
is that
that's one thing they claimed too. People were killing themselves because
I had COVID and I blew my brains out.
The worst part is that when we made fun of the Arizona gubernatorial primaries last week, that ended up in another state. And this is like local shit. They will be, while they don't specifically represent us, they are still going to be writing or voting on the laws in this state. One of those people on that stage will be in the U.S., in the Tennessee State House of Representatives.
So this is why I 100% agree on biological warfare, because we are in dire times, and it's a lot better than having to buy our nails, but you should do that anyways.
Man, I just talk about burning shit down.
I'm talking about turf nails.
You only ever hear me really talking about burning shit down. And people react like I'm so violent. Then you have Sam over here.
Yeah, Sam's definitely the one I have to be like the most dolphin noise one ever.
I've never been dolphin noise.
You have not been dolphin noise. In fact, I think Sam is the prime holder of the dolphin
Sam's
noise.
Sam's the only one.
I'm just saying what everyone's
Sam's
thinking,
the
you know?
Only one that has needed the dolphin noise.
I'm just saying what's on everybody's mind. I'm sure you've all thought about turf nails before. You just haven't had a voice for it yet.
No, I'm always thinking about fire. I really just want to...
We can make the turf nails like candles and you can burn them.
It's because I want to go after what the establishment with the capitalists, what the police protect most, and that's property. Burn
always.
That shit down.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, burn it. You're over here like, bye, grandma. Push her down the stairs.
It starts small, you know? It starts with each individual that actually votes for these people.
So, speaking of voting people...
I'm a grassroots person, okay?
So, that's on this ballot. Now, I do want to prep everyone for what's coming up on the November ballot. Before we get to some local shit.
You may have seen some billboards around
here. We do have three amendments that are amendments to the Constitution that are on the ballot.
Tennessee Constitution?
To the Tennessee Constitution. We haven't had one in a while. They typically only can be presented on gubernatorial votes. This one is Amendment 1. And this one is basically a right to work kind of amendment thing that's already on the books.
Which is one of the most Orwellian phrases that exists, because it is the exact opposite. It's the right to fire is what it would more if it was called what it actually is. It would be called the right to fire.
No, that's the at will employment one. The right to work one is the one that deals with unions and saying you do not have
well,
to
that,
join a
I
union.
Mean, that has
at
that,
will. I mean, they're linked
connected.
To get, yeah.
So the amendment, a yes vote, would make it illegal for workplaces to require mandatory labor union memberships for employments as a condition for employment. So, of course, that's the one Billy's supporting. They want to make it illegal for a business to require that if to be employed, that you have to be a part of the membership. That's another way to kill...
I thought we already had that here.
It's more anti-union shit, but they want...
It is more anti-union shit.
They want to put it into the Constitution to fuck up legal claims.
But, so it's already a law, but it's not in the Constitution.
Yeah,
so
they
want to
strengthen
sure
their legal case.
Yeah, Tennessee enacted the right-to-work law in 1947. So
and that is one of the reasons why Tennessee fucking
they're trying
sucks.
To codify it.
Codify it, yeah. Yeah, it's one of the reasons why it sucks to live here, and we should burn it to the ground. And
it's technically been kind of codified when they put it as an amendment to the Constitution. Then it makes it harder for any kind of other law to override that, because it takes another vote in the Constitution to override that. That means it has to be put back on the ballot instead of state legislators doing this.
What are amendments 2 and 3?
I didn't. They weren't as They weren't really worth mentioning. They're kind of common sense things. I think I would have voted yes to them. I'll look into them for next week's episode. But I don't think they weren't really worth discussing. It was like procedural shit that I don't think really had a major effect on, like, as much as Amendment 1 does. Which this is the way has how they word it, though. I think this is easily gonna pass. Just how they word it. This I think that's kind of how they worded Amendment 1. In 2014 or 2015,
in the most Orwellian way
that
they overruled
that basically allowed Tennessee to start the plan to ban abortion. That they worded that in such a manner that it just says Tennessee doesn't protect the right to abortion, but then as soon as that happened, it allowed them to legislate against it more and more, and then ultimately ban it in 2019 as soon as Roe v. Wade fell. Ruby Wade fell. So this is I think this is just another groundwork thing. They do this and then they can start enacting procedures against it. Is my kind of like my thought process. Like, why, if they already have a law on the books, why add it to the Constitution?
They're
unless
just
you have plans.
They're fucking worried because people are starting to.
There are a lot more unions.
They're like, oh, Starbucks. Starbucks started
yeah.
unionized.
Starbucks, what? Memphis, Knoxville, we got ours done. Memphis, mm-hmm. two were here. I'm sure some Nashville businesses are unionizing. It's, yeah, people are figuring this shit out, and it's
scary. They
want to
keep low wages in Tennessee. That's so, their real fight.
I'm going to quote Senator Sarah Kyle here. By the way, this is from Ballotopedia. This is Ballotopedia.org is a valuable resource for looking up ballot information, ballot initiatives, and past election information. It's a great site. So Senator Sarah Kyle, who opposed the measure, said, "Right to work is a false slogan. The true effect of this legislation is to destroy the freedom and power of collective bargaining. Collective bargaining has lifted millions of workers out of poverty and provided families with health care and dignity in retirement. That gives big corporations the upper hand." I mean, if you want to know like who's on what side of this bill to know which direction to go on, just look at who supports it. And
always.
And it's always, you know, Billy and his ilk. Every one of these are throwing their weight behind this. And there's, you know, even former Governor Bill Haslam has supported this.
Oh, that other piece of shit. Cool. All the pieces of shit.
The thing is, though, is it's getting to a situation that I think more and more people are realizing that unions are a good thing. Hell, I put "unionize your workplace" on the back of my car. And all of a sudden, I had these old gray-haired men honking at me and giving me a thumbs up. And these are people like, did they not see any of the other stickers on my car? It was a new thing, like, when I added that. I'm about to put it back on this car. But it's just, like, it seems like there are a lot of people on the right who understand the value of a union as well. And when you have the left pushing the union, it's going to get to a point that we're going to see enough places being unionized that people are going to realize, well, oh yeah, we do see an improvement where there's a union. Like I don't want to go back into the workforce until I can get hired on someplace with a union. I'm sure there's other people that when they see companies unionizing, they're going to be like, well, I want to work for that company. Eventually, I think they can put it into law, but it'll still get to a point. It still has the potential to get to a point where more people are in the union than outside of the union. But those a lot of the times the people not in the union get the same benefits as the people at the union.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing they don't get is personal personal representation,
right.
But they still get
the healthcare. They get the pay. They get the
whatever they bargain for everyone else. They get those same benefits. I think this is just simply because they don't want that 1947 law repealed. They want this on the books so that it takes a ballot initiative. They're afraid Tennessee might actually turn blue in some manner. Because if it's not on the Constitution, then it can't be repealed by the lawmakers. That's another thing.
I think it's a dumb thing for them to even put their effort into.
I mean, they know that they have a grip on the voters. They know that most Tennesseans are dumb as rocks, and they will vote for whatever the fuck that Bill Lee says. They are racist, dumb shit Republicans who will vote against their own friends,
I mean,
families,
yeah, they
lovers,
will. They,
neighbors, themselves.
They vote
That's
against
what a Republican
themselves
is.
All the time. Like I remember them cheering on when they passed the laws in Tennessee in 2020. I think they went into effect 2021 of increasing charges associated with protests. They were all for it then, and then they wanted to start doing like anti-mask, stop the steal protests, and they started bringing up those laws that they brought, and they were like, "Yeah, they made it sound like it was just for the BLM marchers, but it's for everybody."
You know, I never thought the leopards would eat my face.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that's on the ballot. Look for that. Of course, early voting now. Help. I mean, we know that Tennessee has voted blue before in a governor's race. Let's get the fuck Bill Lee out of here. I know it's been a while. Phil Bredesen was the last Democratic one.
We got to work on local. We are not. I don't think. Yeah, we could do it.
Tennessee's too gerrymandered.
Still try, please. Everyone, still please try.
Local is important. Yes, if you're going to vote local, go for our state government as well. But go ahead and try. But
don't expect too much.
We'll only get this if our sales and nails go up. And you know what? I'm just kidding. We don't need that. We need you to go to church when you have COVID. I'm not joking. The COVID deaths are going to determine this next election. Because the Republicans, like I said, Republicans don't even know how many people they lost because the last census was before COVID. They don't know that they lost 100,000 voters in the last couple years. They have lost so many people. It has. If you see in the COVID deaths, it is right fucking down lines.
It is.
This is the most peaceful way for me and Al not to die at the end of a Nazi's gun in the next 5 years. Like, we are escalating to a point where fascists are taking over the country and taking away people's rights. COVID is our savior, and it is going to determine this next election.
It kind of determined.
It did. I think Trump might have won if it wasn't for COVID.
Oh, I think he would have. Absolutely. 100%. I think he would have. Just not only how he bungled it, but also the sheer number of deaths that occurred as a result of it.
So this is me saying, yay, COVID. Go ahead.
All right, so we're back to Knox County with our ACAP of the week this week.
With several stories. Why is it we get dump trucks of ACAB and it's all local shit sometimes?
All local. This is all between the Knox County Sheriff's Department and the Knoxville Police Department.
I like it all dropped in the last 2 days, too. Like, literally, like, bam, bam, bam. Like, starting from we record on Thursdays. It all started from Tuesday.
Wait, but did we talk about the cop that shot their partner last week?
Yeah, we did. That was our opening ha-ha moment.
Yeah, this has been going, it seems, for at least a week now of just fucked up shit coming out about our police. Again, like, this isn't new. Knox News today released a beautiful fucking article.
They've been going after fucking. We've been praising Knox News Sentinel for how critical they are of and outspoken they are against KPD.
They're one of the only good ones here in town.
Actual journalists.
Knox News Wire is really good as well.
Knox News
Wire,
but
they're all newer. All the TV stuff is completely propaganda.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was gonna say with our Patreon, we should probably buy a subscription for Knox News.
Yeah, we could do that
for us to share because we read enough articles that.
We're tired of getting locked out.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. We should.
But anyway, we had talked about a police chase that happened here in Knox County. It was actually in city limits, I believe, though. It involved a KCSO officer and two teenage kids. It ended in a accident that killed the two kids. Police at the time said that the kids were driving a stolen vehicle. They tried to pull them over and they ran. A lot of information's come out in this Knox News. Of course, they've been going for those Freedom of Information Act requests to get to the bottom of it. But so some of the things we learned from this article, though, is first that the policy for Knox County Sheriff's Department is if there's a danger to the community, you're supposed to back away.
And they're not supposed to even chase when it's a non-violent. That's
I don't think Knox County had that.
It's
the other
it is.
Counties.
No,
I
they
got,
no. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I've read, that's.
I thought it specifically said they do not. If you find the part that says they do, let me know. But because they go to the bottom and they point out other counties in Tennessee and the fact that they have the requirement for only felonies. And it lists certain violent felonies for like one of them. I think it's Chattanooga's that is very explicit about what you can chase. Knox County lacks that, I believe. And its only specification is if it could endanger the officer the suspect or the community, then you should back off.
You're right. I did misread it. It said most departments discourage or outright forbid officers from chasing drivers for nonviolent offenses. So KCSO does not have that particular, I guess,
that's
policy.
All, the only one they have is if you're going to endanger.
Now, I almost have to amend one of my arguments I had with the Akron Police Department because they didn't have dash footage of the shooting. Now, whether Akron actually had it or didn't have it, I don't know. But today I learned that Knox County does not have dash cams.
No, though they do. They're not required to turn them on. Not all the vehicles have them. But they're also not required to have them on. I believe.
This one says that the sheriff's office does not equip cruisers with dash cameras. So the only footage they played was similar to what the Akron police officer, which was just we're staring at a steering column or steering wheel and the officer's leg and shit. Like, that's the only footage they have, which even though Knox News had submitted the FOIA request, the footage they got apparently was heavily edited.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure Knox County has some dash cams because they told the mother of the 16-year-old that she would be getting dash cam footage and then later said, oh, we don't have it.
And they didn't even, but they didn't even investigate this at all anyways.
No, they didn't investigate it in any way. Like, that's the other thing. She had called, and at first they said they couldn't release any information, and because it was under investigation. Knox News Sentinel called, and they were told that it was never investigated. But these kids, the police cruiser got up to 75 miles an hour mm-hmm. on... This is a road, Ball Camp Road. I travel Ball Camp Road almost every day at some point. Like, you shouldn't be going more than 45 on that road. Some people travel 50, Dustin.
Yeah.
some people do. But there's a spot with a really funky railroad.
Yeah, I know exactly, I know exactly which spot you're talking about.
These kids.
It's a ramp when you're going that fast.
Right. They went over that hill on that railroad and they took air and wrecked into a tree. And there's in the recording, you can hear him saying, yeah, I knew about that railroad track, so I hit the brakes hard, but they didn't.
You're right. That was actually in the body cam footage of after the wreck when they're talking to the officers uh-huh. when they're like, hey, those two kids are dead. I knew that was coming. Like, you didn't try to back off. Like, no, you're like, you know where, you know what road this is. These kids are thinking clearly. Maybe back off before that's the case.
Teenagers. Teenagers are well known to not have developed frontal cortex, so they cannot predict the long-term outcomes of their, like, the long-term consequences of their actions. That's what the frontal cortex
does. Weren't they, like, 14, 15? Like,
they were 16 and 16 17.
16 and 17, okay.
But their brains are not fully developed. The other big thing about this case is the police are required to fill out a police report in full.
That's right. They disregarded the whole incident section.
The entire, like, description of what happened.
Right, the whole description of incidents is gone. Nothing's there.
He didn't even fill out the complete... Like, there was missing information on the victims.
Like, and because there was no dash cam footage, there's no proof that this vehicle was either A, driving erratically, doing anything necessary to be pulled over. Like, we have nothing from this investigation to warrant this traffic stop even being initiated, or why the officer felt it was necessary to pursue the vehicle at that speed.
I like the set of questions that Knox News posed for the sheriff's office that they have declined to answer. Did the boy know the woman whose license plate? Oh, that's the thing. They said it was a stolen vehicle. It was just the license plate that was removed from the vehicle. So did the boy know the woman whose license plate he allegedly stole earlier that day?
Can I pause you real quick? Huh? Because the officer would, you know, I don't know, key in that license plate and see which vehicle it was
right.
registered to and be like, oh, this isn't a Chevy Blazer in front of me that's right. blue in color.
Right. So it wasn't a stolen vehicle.
Yeah.
So the second question, can you describe how the boy was driving recklessly? Because they said that's what cued him in, but there's nothing in the incident report that says how. The incident report lists unknowns regarding whether either teen was wearing their seatbelt. Can you confirm whether they were or were not wearing them? I have the copy of the Sheriff's Office Pursuit General Order. Why was a pursuit deemed appropriate in this instance?
And they won't have an answer because they don't have an answer for that.
how far in miles did the officer pursue? The family of the passenger, Miss Gasper, told me KCSO originally told them no video existed. Why was that the case?
Because cops lie.
Yeah. Separately,
I'll answer it for them. I'll answer on behalf of KCSO.
Separately, they said that the time they reached out to KCSO, they were told there was nothing for KCSO to provide because the wreck was still being investigated. However, Kimberly Glim confirmed that there was no further review done by KCSO beyond the incomplete post-pursuit report. So why was this the case?
So when you find out that you've really fucked up and bungled the situation, you don't want to look into further how you fucked it. That's why Uvalde didn't want the video coming out. When they know you fucked up, when they know they fucked up, they don't want it looked into further. There's your answer.
So the next one is, the chase reached speeds up to 75 miles an hour on a two-lane road. Why was the pursuit not terminated? KCSO's general orders for pursuit states, the necessity for pursuit or apprehension must be balanced against the probability and severity of damage or injury that may result. If a pursuit creates a clear and unreasonable danger to the officer, the suspect, or other users of the highway, the safety of all concerned may outweigh the necessity for immediate apprehension, and the pursuit shall be terminated.
My answer, and I'm gonna play Sam. I'm going to be Sam right now. Because they want to be the hero and don't want them to get away!
They're like, I'm going to fuck up my KD.
And the last... how did I do as you, Sam? How was that?
That was good.
Okay.
Yeah. The last one is...
You didn't say kill the cops, though, so...
The last one is KCSO General Orders for Pursuit does not require an investigation or review. Presumably, even when they are fatal. Why is that?
Because paperwork is hard. You can tell that because we didn't even fill out the initial report at all. The whole facts of the incident was left blank.
We'll say, like, this is the thin blue line, the protecting the, the brotherhood thing, which Paul Knoll says he's going to fix with KPD.
So what we're talking about is, this is at the time when, so our new police chief, he was at the time in the New Orleans Police Department. This is, of course, in May of 2020. This is the George Floyd incident. And he says that when he saw the same video that all of us saw, he wasn't so much watching Derek Chauvin, who he admitted was like basically a garbage human being, piece of shit, not doing what he was supposed to do. But his eyes was on the other officers who were standing idly by, not stopping or intervening in the actions of George Floyd, which why those officers are still... Wait, have we heard about those officers? I know they were also... like tried or charged or something like that. Has their case not come up yet?
I don't think the federal case has yet, has it?
But there's still not a sentencing. So we don't have a trial. So what we just learned, we don't have a trial yet. We do believe one pled guilty, the rest pled not guilty or no contest. But there is no trial. There's been no sentencing as of yet.
Only for the federal. They're still in state.
But prison. But that was his kind of motivation for creating what's called the EPIC program, the Ethical Policing is Courageous. It's a novel, so it's a new police program, training program that's designed to break down the blue wall of silence that keeps good officers from confronting or reporting the bad. So that's kind of what would spur him to work with Georgetown's Law Innovative Policing Program and the Shepherd Mullen firm to develop a nationwide training program known as the ABLE Bystandership for Law Enforcement, or ABLE, which you got to come up with better names. Like that was one of the weakest. What is this? Active bystandership for law enforcement. But the goal is to have a program that not only teaches officers when and how to intervene to stop police misconducts, but also protects them from retaliation for doing so. But is it actually going to work? Is this actually going to be effective? Is this performative? Are these officers going to feel emboldened by these programs, to feel protected by these programs, to be able to come out against officers? Or will they feel like they're going to get beat the shit beat out of them in the locker room?
I mean, he did bring up two incidences where the program was used, where it was put in place. But it's been 2 years, and only two instances can be brought up from that. That's a concern because we know a lot more incidents. But I think there's also only like 100 and something police departments in the U.S. using this at this point. So that's a pretty low number, but it still seems like there'd be more. Maybe not all are being reported. it's a start. I can say that it's a start. If it is, so what it is they're expecting the training to start by 2023, if it's approved. If Knoxville Police Department is approved for the ABLE program, and then they will send, like, I think they said 7 or 8 officers to this train the trainers meeting, and then those officers will come back and start training the department in small groups.
I never really liked that. I never really liked train the trainers. I know why it's necessary in some things, but
it is necessary. And I mean, there's a lot of things, even in the activist world, that I've used the train the trainer.
It all depends on how effective that training is and how responsive those people going for the training are. Are they learning what they need to? Are they retaining it and able to bring that same kind of energy and information and techniques, the proper techniques, to be able to mentor a much wider
Not audience? Everyone will, but you may have one or two that come back and they, like,
I understand why it's necessary. I know why it's necessary.
Unfortunately, it is necessary. I know with doing protests, there's certain things that people need some training for. When you get into security, medic stuff, there are all sorts of things. And it gets to a time where, okay, you train this group of people to do something. And, you know, when we hit protest season, and I call it protest season, every, I'd say, April, May, June, somewhere in there, these protests, like, start kicking up. We saw it with George Floyd, saw it with Ant. As soon as it gets warmer and people are more active outside, like, shit starts happening. We have some, like, small protests out there, but when it starts up, it starts up so fucking fast that it's hard to get people mobilized. It's hard to get everybody who's trained for certain things. So, yeah, you do get to where, okay, these people know what they're doing. We can train people while we're there on the streets if we need to, you know. You grab people that you can and get them trained up on stuff. So you get more medics in there. You get more, you know.
Well, I mean, these aren't harmful programs. These can only help, it does take active engagement and follow up. There has to be follow up, and there has to be internal investigations to find out if there is actually retaliation behind closed doors.
I will say, with him being like one of the pilot people with this program, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He launched it. I think that he's knowledgeable in it. He's the one that, like, you know, if he launched it, he knows the ins and outs. So if we're going to have it in Knoxville, I'm glad that he is here and he may hold them accountable. And he will be somebody that when there's questions in training that they can go to and be like, hey, here's a situation. We don't know what to do. So they have someone to lean on. And so, like, there's some hope there.
To be seen.
Well, I mean, to be
seen. That's what hope is. Is like, you don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't know what hope is. I've lived in America.
Well, to be fair, there are already 2 instances this week where cops have arrested other cops in Tennessee. 2 of them that got arrested for DUIs.
Not here in Knoxville.
Here in Knoxville.
But I will say his response. They were Knoxville Police Department police officers.
They just weren't arrested in Knoxville.
They were, one of them was in Sevierville, and the other one was in another. I don't remember the county.
I don't recall either.
But his response to that is, I'm at a loss of words. They're immediately suspended. They'll be moved to desk duty until we get to the bottom of this, which I is desk duty after the suspension? Is like, or does suspension just mean removing them from the streets? I don't know. But that's more action than I've seen from KPD under fucking Eve Thomas when one of her, like, officers did something.
Oh, yeah. She was one really quick to protect.
Yeah.
The actions of the officers. It was Jefferson City, by the way, not Jefferson. It was okay. Jefferson City, yeah.
Jefferson City and Sevier County. And it's, but, yeah. When we've gone, how many years with Eve Thomas doing fuck all anytime her officers were – everybody saw your officers fucked up. Well, she was defended also them every step of the way. And then he's saying, nah, this shit ain't cool.
Well, she's also kind of protected or partnered with Sharm Allen, you know, the DA.
Yeah,
kind
that's of the dumb bitch. You'll see her face.
Which is also on the ballot, guys. She's on the ballot for this.
Yeah, that's what you got. That's the real enemy that we got to watch out for.
We need to get Fenner on for DA instead of Sharm.
Well, this right now, again, this is another primary.
Maybe, yeah, maybe if we get Fenner in instead of Sharm, him and the new police chief may work out really well where we see some really positive fucking changes. Maybe. I think we have a better shot of that because he will go after police when accountability needs to be held. But with Sharm there, it's going to be interesting seeing those two with him wanting accountability for someone, or saying he wants accountability for his officers, and her trying to protect officers at all costs. Seeing that come to head may be interesting in the next couple of years. Because, like, I really want Fenner in office, personally. My hopes are not really, really high because we rely heavily on the county for that position.
Yeah. Well, anyone but fucking Sharm. She's been proven to be against...
Those are your choices.
Yeah.
It's Sharm or Fenner.
I mean, it's like not like we were happy with Biden, but it was either that or Trump. So right. It's kind of like that, I think, to some extent. And the last thing locally, Big Brother has come into town. And a 7-2 vote, $90,000. The real-time crime center would allow police to use cameras to place parts of the city under constant surveillance. I wonder what parts they will be designated as.
South and East Knoxville.
Do you link downtown as well?
Because I'm sure it's going to be downtown.
There's going to be some downtown and then North Knoxville area. We will see the least amount of cameras out west.
Yeah, so it was a 7-2 vote. I am proud. Thankfully, my city council person in my precinct, Seema Singh, was the one who decried this. I'm going to quote her here. This would make me feel less safe. There are things that were legal June 30th that are no longer legal. And I think she's talking about the protests right now.
Yeah.
So as things progress, I would hate to see the technology increase and our rights to be more limited. So I'm going to be voting against it. It just makes me very uncomfortable. Right? The Supreme Court just went after privacy. And the city under constant surveillance, they're claiming they won't have facial recognition. This is just stuff they'll continue to add. This is how it starts. This is how it starts to become where the city's under constant surveillance. Now they're claiming they want to be able to use these, and they will only use them after a crime has been committed to basically let the public do the work for them by posting these images online. Like, have you seen this person? Because they don't want to actually do any investigative work. But my thoughts is they will eventually use this as an attempt to, because we've talked about this before, where they have active dossiers on protesters. That this would be another way to keep an eye on them as well. And I think that's exactly what Seema Singh was.
This is just going to be a way for them to keep black people down and women. This is what the city is all about.
And this is where I have concerns with Paul Knoll, our new police chief, and the fact that he is really boasting about this.
Yeah,
I'm up and down with him right now.
He's like, I really like this. It makes our jobs easier because we don't have to do anything. Just let a crime happen, and then, I don't know, I don't really do detective work. What's the camera say? That's what it is. It's a way for police to be lazier. But let's really talk about it. The police paid off another company. All this is doing is paying another fucking company to do things. Just like traffic cameras. Which are a complete scam. It is another scam. This country this city loves scams, just like our fucking baseball stadium. I fucking hate Knoxville.
I actually got one of those tickets and I just tore it in half and threw it away because they're useless. They hold no weight. But
yeah, if you get one of those things, throw it in the fucking trash.
Just throw it in the trash. And the follow up letters that appear to be from attorneys, throw that in the trash too. Or use it to set something on fire. I mean, they're very flammable. But
instead of paying that, pay for our nails.
Yeah, no, he did. He did say that, you know, I have no intention of seeking this to use facial recognition with live video track of individuals. But that's now, you know, this program could be expanded. Like, what is the true behind the scenes purpose of these cameras? Why under constant surveillance? I mean, I know cities have cameras everywhere, but I don't know. This seems to me like, yeah, A, lazy police work, but B, also keeping an eye on what, you know, to target the crime areas to, like you said, to stereotype those areas to apprehend
we'll
more
people.
We'll
see a lot more down Magnolia and Chapman Highway.
These won't be used
down
after,
Broadway.
Yeah, these won't be used after a crime has been committed. They'll be looking at this to see if they can spot any potential crimes at all times, is my guess.
I don't know. I think that's more work than...
It's
more work to monitor those fucking cameras. Have you ever been one to, like, in a position where you watch cameras?
I do it for my job every day.
Yeah, it's to focus on that and watch for shit that may happen throughout the day is a lot of fucking work.
But if that's your only task, like, I have other tasks I have to do, so I can't do that. But when I had to investigate a thing and I had to look for hours upon hours at 16 different cameras, if that's their only task, they can and will do it.
Yo, I worked night audit where I pretty much watched cameras all night long. I watch Netflix all night long.
But I'm saying Walmart pays people to do this. They watch all the cameras. That's the whole job to do loss prevention. So if Walmart can pay people to do that, this city can pay people to do that too. That's my argument.
How are the Walmart employees not watching Netflix all night?
I don't know where they're doing back there.
Like, they should care about their jobs. Fuck them. Fuck Walmart.
Does Walmart...
If you care about your Walmart job, fuck you too.
Oh God, I was walking out of Walmart and saw the fucking people working there confronting two girls, and I was just sitting there like, why do you fucking care? This isn't your shit. Just let them walk away.
Yeah, if you give a shit, fuck you. They're not fucking paying you to give a shit about people stealing.
This is why I can't go back to the workforce. Because, like...
Well, actually, most jobs tell you not to interfere. Like, most jobs tell you, if you see someone stealing, you can be like, hey, please don't do that, is about as much as you can say to them.
Because most jobs will say your safety is more important.
Well,
than...
also they don't care about their losses because
they write it off.
They don't give a shit.
They like Walmart just prosecutes to be fucking assholes. That's
because
it.
Walmart is fucking evil. Because capitalism is evil, and you live in hell. You live in hell, and the only
solution is there are police there all the fucking time.
Yeah, like it's the most like it's Fort Knox. They act like Walmart's Fort fucking Knox.
I spend hours of my day in a Walmart parking lot. And yeah, I see cops there all the time, but never. Parked.
And they're designated a spot.
They're never parked in the parking spot, though.
No, they always park up front where they can just walk right in, up the case, and if necessary, apprehend and arrest and detain and take them away.
So you should always park in their spot. So it's free parking up close. It's wonderful. It's the best spot other than
it's always open
accessible spots. Those you leave alone. You go for the most of them have two free parkings or like parking spots right close to the door. There's no penalty for parking in them. They're not going to tow your vehicle. Trust me.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap us up for episode 73 of Apostates on the Fringe. Thank you guys for joining us this week. As always, you can join us on Patreon over at patreon.com/apostatepod to help grow and support the show. We're going to want to thank our lovely patrons for helping get the new equipment that we have right now to provide the new content we have. So thank you guys again. If you'd like links to the articles or to contact the show, read the show notes, you can go to apostatepod.com. Continue to share out the show everywhere you can, leaving us a 5-star review for visibility. We will see you all next week.
Unionize your workplace.
Buy our nails. Fuck turfs.
Early voting is now, so get your ass out there and vote.
Thank you all very much. Apostates on the Fringe. Apostates on the Fringe.
The views and opinions of the hosts of Apostates on the Fringe do not represent the views and opinions of the Atheist Society of Knoxville. For links to all our musical contributors, go to apostatepod.com and check the About Us page. A big thank you to Michael Scott Arden, who allows the show to use his full catalog.